Our problem is that we want to have our cake and eat it too. Our brokenness is that we so often want to spend our time sitting on the fence. Not because we cannot decide which way to go, but because we want to be able to go either way at any time. In effect, we want to keep our options open so that we can get things to our own best advantage. And this so often turns out to be our sin. In the gospel reading from John, in this prayer that Jesus prays, he says of the disciples in his prayer, and that means also of us, they do not belong to the world, just as I do not belong to the world. In other words, as Christians, we are in the world, but not of the world. We live in the world, but we are not of the world. Of course, our brokenness is that we want both. To be what God calls us to be, not of the world, different from the world, proclaiming a different way forward, and yet still have all the perks and advantages and benefits of being of the world. Let me give a couple examples. The world says you can be anything you want to be. If you try hard enough, if you work hard enough, it's your choice. You have the freedom. Be who you want to be. But Christ says, we're called to love God. And that means to love and serve our neighbors as ourselves. And to do that, even when living a life of love might get in the way of becoming whatever you want to be. Our brokenness is that we want to love our neighbor without costing ourselves anything. We want to love our neighbor and still be and do whatever we like. Another example, the world tells us over and over every day, a million ads, your value is proportional to what you have, to your net worth. Your status is tied to your possessions. Your importance is tied to your power, your influence. But our Christ says, your value is rooted not in what you have, but in who you are. Your value is rooted in your being a creature created in God's image, made to be in relationship, to love, redeemed by Christ, to be in relationship with God and with one another, empowered by God's Spirit, to live a life of love, serving, self-sacrifice, proclaiming with all that you say and do, God is love. Our sin is that we want to be valued for who we are, for who God says we are. We want to be who God calls us to be and still give as much of our time and energy as we choose towards cultivating what we have, what we control. The world says, be concerned about your security. Guard your financial stability. Protect your assets, your status, your position. The Christ says, trust in God. If you have two coats, give to the person who has none. The world says, freedom and liberty come through each person being allowed to buy and sell and own and invest however they see fit. If each does what's best for themselves, it will be good for all. The Christ says, freedom and liberty come from a cross. The cross on which Christ died. The cross which we're called to take up daily, reminding us that the power of life, not death, always wins. That love always brings new life. Our sin so often is that we want what the world says we should want and what the Christ says we want to be both, even when sometimes they can't both be true. In the world, but not of the world. This is what we're called to be, but we so often want to be both. I think that perhaps one way, the question of what does it mean to live in God's love, distilled down and simplified, is what comes first? What comes first? To what do we give our allegiance? To the world? To the struggle for power, success, measured by influence, accumulation, security, control of all that's around us? Or does the Christ come first? Do we give our allegiance to God, who calls us to share all that we have, to share life in community with God, in community with all those who gather around the good news of God's love, in community with all of God's creation, with all people? Now, it's clear that this simplifying question, what comes first, doesn't mean that it's simple. It's never simple. It's anything but easy. It's very difficult. We're all part of the systems of the world. We are all of the world. We all reap the benefits of the world's systems, even the bad ones. God has claimed us. The proclamation of the Christ calls us to something more. Claims us to live, calls us to live according to a different standard, a different set of priorities. Examples are easy to think of once we begin. Here's a personal one. I eat almost every single day more food than I need to live. There's no doubt about that. And I, like probably most of you, I have in my house, I have a pantry that is crammed full with food, a refrigerator, a freezer, and the wherewithal to get more. While in our own community, there are people who are hungry. The world gives us excuses, but they're lazy. If they would just get off their rear ends, they wouldn't be in that mess. But our Christ says, feed my lambs. Truly I tell you, if you do it to one of the least of these who are members of my family, you do it to me. Feed my sheep. Jesus says, it doesn't matter how they got there, whether you think they deserve it. If they hunger, feed them. This is the difficulty in the world, but not of the world. Here's an example from within our own denomination, our church, the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America. Every institution, every seminary, every church camp, every Lutheran university, every agency which seeks to help children, the aged, the poor, the disadvantaged, all are struggling to make ends meet. Many of our institutions these days face tough decisions, cutbacks, reductions in ministry. The world says times are tough. People have to be careful with what they have. Monies are not just available. And yet I read recently that congregations in the ELCA together have tucked away, just in case, in savings and investments and cemetery funds, all kinds of money which we say we can't touch that because we might need it later, over $1 billion. In the world, but not of the world. That's what we're called to be, and yet we know it's difficult. As disciples of Christ, it's difficult. We would love to have both, to be not of this world and yet still have all the perks, advantages, and benefits, the reassurances of being of the world. We want to have our cake and eat it too. To follow Christ and yet not give up the ways of the world. And thanks be to God. There's also the good news. There is still the word of grace, the word of God's love, the truth about who God is. For the love of God has been made known to us. The very essence of who God is has been revealed to us. It's been placed in our hearts, the essence of God, love, love which we have seen revealed in Jesus, in his teachings, in the way he lived. Because God loves us, it's been revealed to us that God's nature is self-giving, loving, forgiving. That's who God is. That's the way forward. And because of God's love, Jesus is still praying for each one of us. Just as Jesus prayed for those disciples in that upper room, as we heard in our reading, just before his arrest, crucifixion, he prayed that God would be with them. He prayed that God would be with us, that God would help us. Praying not that we would be removed from the world, but rather we would be protected from evil, from the brokenness, from the sin, from our desire, our temptation to put our trust in all those things that ultimately fail us: power, wealth, security, status, material gain, comfort, lack of risk. Jesus doesn't pray that we would be removed from the world any more than he prayed that for those disciples in that moment. He prayed that his Spirit would be poured out upon them, the Spirit of grace and forgiveness that's our gift from God. He prayed that that Spirit would fill us as we are caught in this place again and again. Even when we fail to be all that we can be, God still continues to desire for us, even when we fail to be not of the world. God is there, sending the Spirit. Just as Jesus prayed for those disciples who gathered at the table, we are in God's prayers that the Spirit would continually coax us, encourage us, turn our hearts again and again, move us in response to this love, to live as Christ's own body, to live as followers of the way he teaches, to live as disciples. Jesus prays for us again and again. The Spirit moves through us, filling us with God's love, encouraging us to reach out, to proclaim love, grace, forgiveness, those gifts which God has already shown us, is showing us, will always and forever reveal to us those gifts which we're being called to live into. We are in the world, no doubt. Sometimes, maybe often, we're too much of the world. But this is the good news. God is in the world with us. God's love has been poured out into the world. The living spirit of love of Jesus' own spirit is in the world within us, calling us, moving us, changing us, transforming us with God's promise that in God's good time, all of us, all of God's children will at last be caught up in God's reign, in God's rule, in the new creation, permeated with God's love. Amen.